Welcome to New World Notes, hosted by yours truly, Kenneth Doust. Today we'll bash the corporate-controlled commercial media, particularly the news media. Your bashers will be me, and better still, Jeff Cohen. Cohen's a veteran of the commercial media, a founder of the media watchdog group FAIR, and a very sharp media critic. I hope you'll stay tuned. I read the news today. Oh boy! You know, I could make a song out of that. Alas, it's an election year, so the politicians are doing stunts in order to get free publicity from the commercial media. And the commercial media are reporting the stunts with a straight face in order to please their corporate overlords. And every serious problem the country is facing is either being trivialized or denied or, like global warming, ignored. 15 or 20 years ago, I swore off TV. Commercial radio abandoned me before that. I still read my local daily newspaper, though. 10 miles away, in Hartford, there's another one, an old and once highly respected newspaper I used to subscribe to. I won't mention its name. Somebody bought it up. Maybe it was the LA Times Corporation. Then the Chicago-based Tribune Corp bought up that corporation. Or was it vice versa? In any case, now the paper is but a line in some huge corporation's ledger. The paper had been making a profit, but not enough to suit its new corporate owners. So they reduced costs. They fired a bunch of reporters. They fired a bunch of local columnists, too, and stringers, and maybe even a few editors. They started printing less news and more celebrity fluff. They made their pictures bigger and their pages smaller. Long story short, this once pretty good newspaper, in mine humble judgment, is now hardly worth the powder it would take to blow it to hell, a destination it is rapidly approaching under its own power, and in a very slick handbasket, I might add. But don't get me started. Its one saving grace is that its news stories are closer to real journalism than what you'll find on TV, judging by what I've read about today's TV news. As I said, I'm not a viewer. So I guess it's time for another show critiquing the media, and I just happen to have a modest one here under my arm. We'll feature Jeff Cohen, co-founder of FAIR, Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, and one of the best media critics this side of John Pilger. And we'll have a few items from the latest Project Censored. Let's start with Jeff Cohen. He's had much experience working in the commercial media. In fact, 6 corporations now control nearly all the commercial media in the country, and Cohen has worked for 3 of them. In the last of these jobs, he was a senior producer on The Phil Donahue Show, which was about the most popular show on the network, MSNBC, I think it was. MSNBC and NBC are owned by General Electric Corporation, a major defense contractor. Donahue's was a talk show aimed at a popular audience, sort of like Oprah. In the early 21st century, it was about the only show on American TV that included guests opposing a war against Iraq, a war that then seemed to be on the horizon. In 2003, 3 weeks before the United States indeed invaded Iraq, high executives in General Electric ordered the Phil Donahue Show taken off the air. Actually, Cohen was a media critic well before GE sacked him and Donahue. Alternative radio guy Barry Vogel conducted a terrific interview with Cohen in March. This was broadcast on Vogel's program, Radio Curious. We'll hear a few parts of that interview. First, Cohen exposes the very narrow spectrum of opinion aired in the mass media. Viewpoints range from those of the Democratic Party elite to those of the Republican Party elite, which is to say there's hardly any range of viewpoints at all. On every major issue, The differences between the two parties' positions are subtle to non-existent. Or so says Cohen, and quite correctly, I think. So one problem is the absence of diverse viewpoints. Here's Jeff Cohen.
The main thing I encourage listeners and viewers and readers of news media to be conscious of is what's the spectrum of viewpoints presented. I traveled in the Soviet Union when it still existed, and no one believed the media because it all came from one perspective, and they never had the pretense of two points of view. So it was not very effective propaganda because no one bought it. In our country, we often have two points of view, and it's often the pretense of two points of view. The classic example was during the first fight over healthcare reform in the early 1990s, NPR had a former Democratic Congress member and a former Republican Congress member allegedly debating the issue of healthcare reform. Both of them were against single-payer Medicare for all and said so. What NPR didn't tell their listeners is that both the Democrat and Republican former Congress member were major consultants and lobbyists for the health insurance industry. So what you typically get in the U.S. media, mainstream media, corporate media, is two points of view that aren't often that far apart. You know, the spectrum in our country is way broader than the spectrum, say, within the household of Mary Madeline and James Carville. There's a spectrum of views that go outside of a Democratic Party hack and a Republican Party hack, because sometimes the two parties are very close on certain economic issues, certain foreign policy issues, certain civil liberties issues. And what happens on CNN and a lot of the media is they bring on a hack from either side, giving the party line, and they believe that's a debate. The reality is, you think about what phrases should the listeners' ears perk up on and the skepticism go off. When you hear the phrase bipartisan compromise, that's when I hold onto my wallet because I'm probably about to be fleeced, or I grab onto the U.S. Constitution because it's about to be gouged. You know, what we get in most of the mainstream media, especially like NPR and PBS and CNN, is the elites of the two parties. Over and over. And a lot of issues, they don't disagree. On drug war, they don't disagree. On Patriot Act, passed with only one dissenting vote. On invading Iraq, it was a Republican thrust, and all the leaders of the Democratic Party supported it. On NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement, it was bipartisan. So a lot of the worst stuff, the deregulating of Wall Street in the late 1990s, well, we had a Democratic president pushing it with a Republican Congress, and Wall Street got everything they wanted. And then 8 years later, the global economy crashed. That was bipartisan. So it's just not enough to talk to the elites of the two major parties and assume you've covered the issue. There's a lot of experts on all sides of an issue. There's a lot of average members of the public who have different perspectives than the elites of the two parties. And so that's what people need to be conscious of. You know, who's the debate? Where's the debate? Is there a real debate? It's important for listeners to be skeptical, whether they're listening to Pacifica Radio or NPR or PBS or reading the New York Times. You have to be conscious of the cheerleading for bipartisanship. It may be good from the point of view of the news elites. Sometimes it's not so great for the public. In the eyes of the media elite, any bipartisan deal is good. When the media says the word reform, in the last 10, 15 years, reform in elite media has often been deregulation. It's often been union busting. But from the perspective of elite media, that's what reform is. In the old days, reform was things were changed that brought more justice, more inclusion of working class or middle class individuals. But that's not what it's become lately. These phrases we hear all the time, a pro-Western government or a U.S. ally. You know, for decades, we kept being told that Egypt was a moderate regime. Egypt was pro-Western. Egypt was a U.S. ally. Well, how is it pro-Western to be torturing your own citizens and to not have a parliament? I always thought the West was equivalent to, you know, democracy, parliaments, elections. But as long as a foreign government, a third world government, a developing country's government is allied with the U.S. in some way, they get a pass and they get all these nice sounding things like pro-Western and moderate.
Well, the pass comes from the corporate media.
Yes. But it comes from the corporate media because they take their signs from the government. When it comes to foreign policy, the media are very much echoes of the government. And study after study has been done on this. How many of the sources of big, big elite national media are unnamed sources that are government sources? The whole hoax about Iraq having weapons of mass destruction based on unnamed government sources, unnamed White House sources, unnamed intelligence sources. At FAIR, we've done study after study showing that in coverage of foreign policy, you can hardly slide a thin paper between the government's perspective and the perspective of the corporate mainstream media.
On New World Notes, we're listening to media critic and media activist Jeff Cohen, co-founder of FAIR, Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. He's in conversation with Barry Vogel. In the section coming up, Cohen shows how the mass media present only the corporate perspective on every issue. The corporate perspective and the government perspective are pretty much one and the same. The news media become the propagandist for the corporations and the government, especially in matters of war. Pro-war viewpoints are broadcast. Anti-war viewpoints are excluded. We can see this happening now with Iran just as clearly as it happened with Iraq. Interestingly, Cohen's critique includes the public networks PBS and National Public Radio. FAIR conducted empirical studies that show the public networks take the same pro-government, pro-corporate, pro-war lines as the commercial networks. They interview the same government and corporate flacks as the commercial networks. And they exclude opposing viewpoints just as thoroughly as the commercial networks do. Once again, here's Jeff Cohen.
FAIR is an acronym of Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, a nonprofit group I started in 1986 with people like Norman Solomon and Martin Lee. We study who gets on the air and who doesn't, who gets on NPR and who doesn't, who gets on PBS and who doesn't, who gets in the New York Times and who doesn't. And when you do these kinds of studies, you realize that on issue after issue, we were getting a corporate perspective. I remember we studied Nightline for every one labor perspective. Discussing economics, they had something like 8 corporate perspectives. When you study NPR and PBS, the same thing. So FAIR was set up to study who gets access to the big media and who doesn't, what points of view are never heard. And that gets back to my spectrum argument. You always hear what's put forward as a hawk point of view and a dove point of view, but the dove is often for intervention at a slower rate or militarism, but not quite as big. And that's what passes for discussion. The anti-war viewpoints were virtually excluded during and in advance of every military intervention. Right before the Iraq invasion, the two most important weeks were the 1 week before and the 1 week after Colin Powell went to the UN and gave his speech, which was full of inaccuracies and exaggerations about why.
And later retracted.
Yes, why we had to invade Iraq and why we had to invade soon. And he's holding up the vial. During those 2 weeks, there were something like 300 and some sources on the nightly TV news, NBC, CBS, ABC, and PBS. And of all those sources, only 3 represented an anti-war perspective. It's less than 1%.
Is it fair to lump NPR, CNN, and CBS together when you pose the question, who gets on those outlets and who doesn't?
Yes, because when we've empirically studied them, sometimes for months and months at a time, every single guest for months and months at a time, there's no distinction between NPR and, say, ABC News. They have the same people. On NPR, you get to talk longer, but it's the same corporate think tanks, same narrow spectrum from center to right. It's a spectrum that I say goes from General Electric to General Motors. That's the spectrum.
Then let's talk about who doesn't get on and why.
Yeah. Clearly, the anti-war perspective is excluded from mainstream media.
How would you characterize the anti-war perspective?
It's people that actually know the region, often can speak the language, can speak Arabic or can speak Farsi, actually have been in country, have sources that are broader than the, the Beltway elite. And those are the people that don't get on. Let's face it. There were a lot of experts who were saying Iraq doesn't have weapons of mass destruction. And they didn't get on. We proved it scientifically, empirically, at FAIR. There are people today saying that the IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Association, which has the inspectors, they don't believe Iran has a nuclear weapons program today. And if you listen to CBS News or PBS, they're telling you about Iran's nuclear weapons program. No, they have a nuclear program, clearly. But the experts who will come on and objectively say, no, we have no evidence they have a nuclear weapons program or have made a decision to go forward with nuclear weapons, those experts are excluded. If it wasn't for Hans Blix being the head of an agency that happened to be going back and forth, he wouldn't have gotten on, and he was distorted.
Jeff, let's talk about the state of the art of public radio in the United States now.
If you're talking about public radio stations, they often do great local programming and they have alternative and diverse voices. It's wonderful. If you're talking about NPR's national news, I think it's a national disgrace. They completely accepted the lies in the run-up to the invasion of Iraq. They're not questioning a lot of the distortion now that there's war drums beating over Iran. You just don't have the questioning in NPR's national news that you do if you listen to public radio in Western Europe or other countries where it really is more independent.
Jeff Cohen, with a very cogent analysis of the biased picture of reality beamed at us by all the corporate news media. And that includes, alas, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Or so Cohen argues. I don't want to get into PBS bashing and NPR bashing, so I'll just say, I think he's right. Now let's take a look at the latest Project Censored report. That's not associated with Jeff Cohen or FAIR, but it's in a similar spirit. Project Censored is based at Sonoma State University in California. Each year they consider maybe 1,000 stories that got a little bit of coverage somewhere, but was pretty much suppressed by the mainstream news. Each year, Project Censored selects what they see as the 25 most important stories that you probably never got to hear about, and they publish these as a book. Their most recent collection was published in late 2011. I'll read their concise summaries of a few of these suppressed stories. Number one on Project Censored's list, more U.S. soldiers committed suicide than died in combat. In 2010, for the second year in a row, more U.S. soldiers killed themselves than died in combat. That's 468 to 462. General Peter Chiarelli told the Army Times, "If you know the one thing that causes people to commit suicide, please let us know, because we don't know, quote unquote. Suicide is a tragic but predictable human reaction to being asked to kill, and watch your friends be killed, particularly when it's for a war based on lies. Sidebar comment, and it's especially stressful when you are killing unarmed civilians, which is the great majority of people our military kills these days. Back to the text. Censored story number 2, U.S. military manipulates the social media. The U.S. military is developing software that will allow it to secretly manipulate social media sites by using fake online personas to influence internet conversations and spread pro-American propaganda. A California corporation has been awarded a contract with the U.S. Central Command to develop an online persona management service that will allow one U.S. service person to control up to 10 separate identities based all over the world. The CENTCOM contract stipulates that each fake online persona must have a convincing background, history, and supporting details, and that up to 50 U.S.-based controllers be able to manage false identities from their workstations. Story number 3, headline only here, Obama authorizes international assassination campaign. Number 4, here's a headline only, global food crisis expands. Number 5, private prison companies fund anti-immigrant legislation. Over the past 4 years, roughly 1 million immigrants have been incarcerated in dangerous detention facilities in our taxpayer-financed private prison system, where children are abused, women are raped, and men die from lack of basic medical attention. Arizona's Governor Jan Brewer received substantial campaign financing from Corrections Corporation of America, CCA, and GEO Group. These are the nation's two largest companies that design, build, finance, and operate prisons. These two private prison companies are the principal moving forces in the behind-the-scenes organizing of the current wave of anti-immigrant legislative efforts. Got that? There's an astounding campaign of cracking down on undocumented immigrants, particularly in the United States South. That campaign is being funded by two private corporations that make money, paid for by your taxes, make money from the state throwing immigrants into jail. Let's do one more. Here's number 8. Safe nuclear power is a fairy tale. This story came out before the Fukushima disaster, by the way. If it had come out after the disaster, I suspect it would be suppressed all the more thoroughly. Safe nuclear power is a fairy tale. Nuclear power presents a security threat of unprecedented proportions. It's capable of a catastrophic accident that can kill hundreds of thousands of people, with a byproduct that is toxic for millennia. To call nuclear power clean is an affront to science, common sense, and the English language. Yet industry backers, inside and outside of government, are attempting to establish a new clean energy standard, quote-unquote, to promote nuclear power. In their most recent report, back in 2005, the U.S. National Academy of Sciences determined that no safe level of radiation exposure exists. Every exposure to radiation increases the risk of cancer, birth defects, and other disease. Sidebar comment, one key fact that this summary fails to mention is that, while operating normally, nuclear power plants regularly emit radioactive substances, and epidemiological studies have repeatedly shown elevated cancer rates downstream and downwind of nuclear plants. That's when the plants are operating normally. And there's a new study that just came out of France that demonstrates that, yet again, there is no safe level of radiation exposure. Period. Says who? says the prestigious U.S. National Academy of Sciences. Let's stop here. On later shows, we'll have more from Project Censored, and also more from Jeff Cohen and FAIR. Thanks to Barry Vogel and Radio Curious for the Cohen interview. Check out radiocurious.org. FAIR has a weekly radio program. Look for Counterspin in your station listings. In Central Connecticut, it comes on right after this show on WWUHFM West Hartford. On the web, check out FAIR.org. You'll find more from Project Censored at projectcensored.org. And if you can stand one more address, you'll find handy links to all of these sites at our own website, newworldnotes.blogspot.com. Here's a final thought. Everyone agrees that an independent, vigorous press is necessary for democracy to succeed. Well, that pretty much explains why we don't have one. Our news media are bad, not because they are failing. Our news media are bad because they are succeeding in doing what they're trying to do, which is to advance the interests of the media owners and their fellow oligarchs. Informing the public and empowering democracy are very worthy goals. However, they are our goals, not the goals of General Electric Corporation. A century ago, they weren't the goals of Hearst or Pulitzer either. Good journalism is still being done. Once in a while, you'll find some in the elite corporate media, such as the Wall Street Journal. And you'll find more on the internet and on your non-commercial community radio stations, such as this one. Well, your mileage may vary, but that's how things looked to New World Notes. And I thank you for taking a look with us. Illegitimi non carborundum, and in the words of journalist Claude Coburn, never believe anything until you've read the official denial. Ciao.